It's The Rush with Ryan Doyle and Jay Michaels, joined by special guest co-host Tamara Cherry on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
5:35 on a Friday afternoon, Toronto Mayor John Tory rejoins the broadcast. Mr. Mayor, good to have you.
Ryan and Tamara, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Delightful to have you on the show today. Big news from the provincial government. 5 days earlier than expected, July 16th will be the day that the province moves into step three. First off, your reaction. And second, is the city ready and prepared for this?
Yes, we're ready. And I think the decision was the correct one because it was based on the evidence. Things were all going in the right direction. You saw the chief medical officer of health himself from the province saying that he thought this was something that was, doable based on his advice. And I think the premier certainly told me, and I heartily agreed, that that was the basis upon which to make the decision, not some of the political grandstanding we see. You don't see me doing that because I just want to make sure the evidence on case counts, on hospitalization, on the variants and so on are all things that are moving in such a direction that you can do this a few days earlier. And that's the advice the premier got, and he acted on. I think it's a good thing for business, and it's a good thing for the psychology of people, and hopefully it'll be good for health. People have to keep getting vaccinated.
What are you excited to do, Mayor?
Well, I mean, to me, it's pretty simple. I would like to just go to maybe go see a movie. I probably haven't been to see a movie in, seems like almost 2 years. I'd love to go to a restaurant indoors. I mean, just in the sense that there are lots of restaurants that don't have patios, so you haven't been able to go to them at all and just support them and have a nice meal. And so nothing too fancy, and a music venue. I mean, again, some of the smaller music venues have been closed for a long time, and now they can open. So to me, it's just going to be exciting to have us, slowly but surely moving back to getting normal.
Are there any red flags that your chief medical officer of health, maybe might be watching a little bit more closely in the areas? Oh. I don't want to be a downer on this, but is there something...
One of the things they did very sensibly, and I was talking to the premier about this last night, is the nightclubs are, nightclubs really were a source of a problem before because, by definition almost, you had hundreds of people crammed into a very small indoor space, and they're dancing, and it's loud, and they're talking loud, and that was a recipe for the transmission of this virus, let alone the variants. And so he, the premier, limited that in today's decision to 250 people. I think that's going to be an area we're going to have to watch. I think we're going to have to watch the large indoor parties, because again, indoors is way worse than outdoors. And I think we're going to have to keep an eye on the other countries. I mean, the other countries, in Europe, UK, the European countries, the variants are not putting as many people in hospital. They're not taking as many lives, but they certainly are, infecting people. And so we just have to keep an eye on all of that and continue to get vaccinated. And I can't repeat that often enough, because that is our greatest weapon against something bad happening, is to be vaccinated. You've heard the stats, I've heard them on 1010, that I think 85 to 90% of the people who are getting COVID and getting one of the variants these days are people who are not vaccinated.
Yeah, you raise a really interesting point about the nightclubs, because Ryan and I were talking, I think, yesterday on this show about how the group that is, the lowest vaccination rate is exactly that group that would be going to the nightclubs. The, what was it, Ryan?
Late 18 teens. 18 to 29, yeah.
Right, exactly. Mr. Mayor, Canada's largest city, a perennial top finisher on the Two Think Now Innovation Cities Index, has fallen a staggering 33 spots since the last ranking, going from the world's 10th most innovative city in 2019 to just 43rd in 2021. What's going on? Are we getting less innovative? Can we catch up on this list?
We're not getting less innovative. You have to look behind these. We recently dropped four or five spots on the World's Most Livable Cities Index. So I asked for the background, and it's not really publicized much what the background was. And the reason for it was the strain that was put on our healthcare system by COVID-19. And that is something that is going to fix itself with the pandemic behind us. So I'd want to have a look at this. But I think companies are talking with their investments. When you have Netflix, you have Reddit, you have, all kinds of companies. Literally, I could name you 10 companies. The names aren't right at the tip of my tongue at this moment, that have invested in Toronto and come here because we have smart, innovative people during the pandemic. And I'm out making sales pitches all the time, and I'm telling you they're as well received as ever. So I don't, you can't, you know, on the one hand, claim too much credit when you get up high on those lists, nor can you, you know, worry when you bounce around on them a little bit. But I'm very optimistic based on the strength of our smart people, our educational institutions, our reputation for innovation, our tech sector, that we'll come back up that list. And probably if you look at it, something pandemic related that affected, you know, our status on that list. But, I look at it. I'm concerned about it to an extent, but not to the point where I think we're somehow losing our edge. We're in great shape. I'm very optimistic about the future of the city.
We talked about this on the show yesterday. I'm curious as to whether or not you support the idea behind this petition. Obviously, Dundas Street has been much talked about, the idea of renaming Dundas Street. There is a petition circulating to rename a portion of that street right in front of the division in which he served, to name it after Constable Jeff Northrup, who will be laid to rest. The fallen police officer who lost his life last week in the line of duty will be laid to rest on Monday in more of a public way. But do you support the idea of renaming this portion of Dundas Street after this fallen officer?
I don't want you to misunderstand my comments in any way. I mean, Jeff Northrup is a hero. I think people who saw me speak on the day after his death know how profoundly moved I was. I've talked to his wife. I've been texting her almost every day to make sure she's getting the support she needs. I'll be at the funeral, of course. I'll be visiting the funeral home on Monday, but I'm not going to sit here and say, because I think this is precisely what gets us into trouble, is, you know, having something that may be a wonderful idea opined upon by the mayor and just says, yeah, sure, let's do that. I am determined that if the name of Dundas Street changes, and that has to be approved by the city council, but I support it, that then there's also going to accompany that a process which takes politics out of this and puts the process in place that allows us to deal with these things in a kind of a, I'm trying to think of the right word, but in a way that just says we're going to have a clarity of purpose in deciding what should be named after who, if anybody, and how you should do these things. So no offense at all to Officer Northrup, who is a hero, but I just want to not just sit here and say something that might seem popular and say, sure, why not? I'm just not going to do that.
Well, that's interesting because it leads me to the point that I was making yesterday, and I did not say this in any way to be disrespectful to the family or to the work that Constable Northrup did. I just don't like the practice of naming. Like, if we're all going to admit that Dundas Street was a mistake because it's named after a human being, and we all are flawed as human beings, maybe the process of naming things after people just is not a good idea. Full stop. Period.
You know, if that's the process that emerges, Ryan, out of careful thought being given to this by the city manager for the longer term, I won't have a problem with that, because there's no question that, you know, no matter how popular or no matter how great somebody seems on Monday, you know, by Friday, especially in this world, or by 10 years from Friday, may seem like not such a good idea. So look, that's why the city manager, not a politician, but a public servant, our top public servant, is coming forward with a process that will deal with these questions of whether you name things after people or not. And if so, how do you decide? And all that kind of thing. And I think that, but you know, your point of view on that is not to me out of place at all. And, we'll just have to find a way to deal with this. But that's, again, no disrespect to anybody, including especially Officer Northrup, who gave his life for us.
I don't ask this question out of my own selfish interests here, but more so for the people who are my neighbors and friends. But I got a letter in the mail. I'm in Old East York, where we've enjoyed for quite a while the idea of street parking that kind of goes unmonitored, unchecked. There was no permits that were required. I got a note saying that that's going to be changing. And, you know, I don't have a problem paying for a permit to park on the street. But in broader strokes, when it comes to the older driveways in this city and the newer cars, is there any concern on your part as the mayor that, you know, the SUVs that are designed in 2021 don't necessarily fit in those small, tiny driveways that are here in 2021 and the driveways that were designed in, like, let's say, 1920?
If I told you the sort of hassles that are involved, and I'm not complaining about my job, I love my job, but if I told you the hassles that are involved by front yard parking, the size of vehicles, which are bigger now on average, although if you go back to the 60s when I was a kid, the cars were these huge boats that are in excess of the size of any SUV or minivan you've got going today. If I told you that this balancing act you have on permit parking on streets, where the only reason we bring in permit parking most of the time is because of the massive number of complaints we get from people who say they can't park anywhere on their own street, so you have to bring a sense of order to it. So, look, it's one of those things where you can't win. And, you know, the size of vehicles is a factor. The fact that we put a moratorium on street, what do you call it, front yard parking, because a lot of people didn't like those parking pads. It goes on and on. And parking is a scourge of your existence if you're a councillor or the mayor, believe me.
No, I completely believe that, and I appreciate you commenting on that today. Have a good weekend. We appreciate you taking the time today.
You have a good weekend too, both of you. Bye-bye.
There you
Thank
go.
You.
That is Toronto Mayor John Tory. He, of course, will be back at 5:35 on Monday's program. When we come back, Selena Caesar-Chavan, Chris Chapin, they're going to go at it about a number of different things, including social media and the Prime Minister's participation in what, I don't know, how else do I describe this? A photo op in an Indigenous graveyard. I don't know how else you describe it, so we'll talk to the panel about that and a whole lot more as the rush continues.